Welcome to the PodTech.net Info Talk podcast here at Sequoia Capital with Mark Kwame back again for another podcast. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much.
We're going to kick off a monthly podcast with Sequoia and yourself. Very popular, one of the most downloaded venture capitalists I have on my program. So
I don't know why, but well, thank you for saying that, and thank you for downloading.
People are sending in requests for pitches and all that great stuff. So
I can tell you, this is an amazing medium because I think in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've gotten multiple plans. More importantly, I've got some really, really good plans and starting to talk to some folks about some interesting new businesses. So this medium's working very, very well, and happy to be a part of it.
Well, a lot of people are trying to figure out, you know, how this all works, but you don't have to be a weatherman to know that it's pretty sunny out right now. I mean, it works.
Exactly.
I mean, it resonates with people. They can hear your voice. I mean, you're dynamic, you're animated, you're articulate, and you know what you're talking about.
How much did I pay you before this?
It was small.
It was just a couple C notes.
Exactly. Well, you know, I'm looking for some capital. By the way, we can talk about that after.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, what's happening? What's new with you?
Well, it's just such an exciting time right now. We are seeing just so many very interesting companies all up and down the stack. I'd say two areas that are very interesting right now. One area is, you know, everyone calls it Internet 2.0, but the amount of interesting, investable internet commerce and internet media companies we're seeing walking through these doors with real traffic and real revenue and, you know, real gross margins, it's just really exciting. I mean, it's a great time to be both an investor as well as an entrepreneur in that area. The other area that I'm really trying to understand and get my hands around, and I haven't fully got it around yet, is this whole kind of mobile area. What's going to happen? So I went down the other day, a couple weeks ago, to buy the new Verizon VCAS phone. So I can actually watch TV now on my cell phone and have my MP3 player on my cell phone and kind of this whole, you know, unified experience around my cell phone. So I've been playing around with that a little bit. There's a lot of, you know, very interesting areas right now.
In the mobile, what particular area you think about getting your arms around? What is it? Is it the technology? I mean, is it the carrier position? Is it the business model? I mean, what particular?
Well, I think the big question on mobile right now is, one is, you know, we've made several investments on the infrastructure side of things, semiconductors and some of the low level, you know, kind of layers 1 through 3 type things. excuse me, got a little bit of a cold. One of the things I'm trying to figure out right now is the carriers really control access to their networks, and they're, you know, many of them are very much walled gardens. But you're starting to see some applications and some capabilities and some technologies where, for example, if you have a Java phone and you can download this app into your Java phone, either, you know, from your PC or over the network, you can upload tons of interesting things in there. And actually, it's a way for, you know, really using the networks the way the networks are supposed to be used. So I'm starting to see a lot of very innovative things in those areas and trying to see how, because if everything has to go through the carrier, it's not a great investment premise because you have a gatekeeper. And one thing the internet has taught us and many of these other fields have taught us is you have a gatekeeper, it will not, you know, expand rapidly. So from an venture capital perspective, it's very good for us to start seeing some of these new business models.
Yeah, I did a podcast with XL Partners, another venture capital firm, pretty prominent. Also agreed that this Java thing is pretty revolutionary. I mean, it's always been like the handset's been a problem. You got to get through the carriers, right, which is a whole nother problem. But with SMS out there, you got these transports out there. On the client side, you got Java. So interesting dynamics are happening, kind of unknown to people, like new applications. What do you see in terms of that type of environment? Do you see it taking on the same shape as kind of like the, you know, the web now in terms of like anyone can just pop out there and like a YouTube, which you invested in? And what do you see that?
Well, I think it's still very, very early because still right now getting distribution is very, very hard. I think we have to see some new viral models appear in that area. And I think I haven't really seen anything yet. You know, Dodgeball, for example, is one that started to grow, which is this whole idea of SMSing your friends when you're at a location. Actually, Google purchased that company. I saw that was kind of the beginnings of a viral model as a text-based SMS thing. But imagine you put a Java app there and you get that into distribution. The kinds of things you can do, I think, are interesting, whether it's, you know, searching for new content or whether it's downloading, you know, specific vertical type contents, whether it's, You know, I'm a rabid motocrosser, for example, supercross. I love dirt bikes. And a friend of mine's launching Amped Mobile, which is a Verizon's new youth MVNO. And he's focusing in the beginning just on the motocross, supercross area because he knows guys like me who have disposable income can't see the races in real time because the races are tape delayed. So it's just – it was interesting. I was at this conference, this Rutbird conference, where a whole bunch of wireless guys were here last week. And the guy from Telecom Italy said something very, very interesting. He said they've been offering video on their cell phones for quite some time, and their usage patterns are on two ends of the spectrum. The most usage is either 30 seconds or a minute. So they're just watching little funny clips or commercial or whatever, and then an hour and a half. And I said, who would be watching their cell phone for an hour and a half? And he said, it's guys who don't have access to a television or other things to watch their favorite soccer team. And so what they're doing is they're actually using their cell phone to watch the soccer game because they can't get to a TV or they're, whatever.
It's not syndicated, so they can get it off the internet.
Exactly. It's not syndicated, so they can't get it off the internet, so they're watching it on their cell phone. So, there's just all these different applications out there in interesting areas. And so we're just, it reminds me of internet and, kind of 94, trying to figure out, which dials are the right ones to play with.
Well, let's talk about an area that you got a lot of expertise in. Obviously, you have an ad background and also media. So you invested in Podshow and some other podcasting venture. Media is a hot topic right now. Citizens media. I mean, let's not talk about blogs, but let's talk about media, mm-hmm. audio and video. What's happening there, and what do you see working, not working? And obviously, Madison Avenue, people want to hit new demographics. What's your view there?
Well, I think it's fascinating if you look at history. I'm a big believer in what, there's nothing new under the sun. If you remember, from, 1600s, 1500s or wherever, all the way through to the late 1800s, the only medium was the printed word, and people got very much into that. And then this wonderful thing called radio happened, which was audio content. And then 50 years later, then TV happened. Well, that whole thing's been compressed in 10 years on the internet. We started with HTML 1.0. Okay, and it was all kind of text-based and very, content and text and images oriented. And then real networks came out and people started playing around with radio a little bit and started seeing some interesting things. But it didn't really take off, quite frankly, until this wonderful thing called podcasting happened, to where you could distribute it very easily and so on and so forth. So, I forgot exactly when Reel came out. They were probably 97, 96 in that period. So it took, 6, 7, 8 years before that happened. Well, the same thing happened in video. I mean, video codecs have been around for a while, but it wasn't until broadband really got throughout the networks. I know 40% of homes have broadband that we're starting to see this explosion of video. But it wasn't just that. It's all of us now are carrying around these little digital cameras that do both video and still frames. I don't think video on the net would have taken off, or video blogging or whatever you want to call it, if we didn't have these little digital cameras. So you have all all these things happening around the same time, and it's just exploding. So I think, 2006 really is about new media on the net. Podcasting on one end, the audio media, because then I can take the internet into my car, if you will. And the other is this whole video phenomenon. It's really exciting, the whole media landscape right now.
And just recently, a lot of the big guns up on traditional media are announcing video on demand stuff. I mean, they're really starting to see the pressure. There's some cracks happening, and you're starting to see some leaks in their old model. I mean, where are they going to go? I mean, you have a perspective from being an ad guy in the old world, which is, pretty straightforward broadcast media. Media planning, media buying, push it out the demographics. Now you get this whole sea of new stuff. What is going to happen with mainstream broadcast folks and then the ad people?
Well, I think we are going to see in the next 2 to 3 years one of the major shifts in advertising spend that we've ever seen in such a short period of time. What is happening is advertisers go where people are. Right now, people are going away from standard broadcasts and even cable television and spending more and more time on net. Teenagers today spend 16 to 17 hours a week on the internet versus like 10 hours watching television. I have three teenage boys. My oldest boy, for example, he doesn't watch TV. He spends all of his time on the internet. So how are you going to get – I mean, one thing I read a study the other day, 18 to 35-year-old males are disappearing off TV, and that's a very, very important demographic. So here you have broadcast and cable TV, which is about a $60 to $70 billion a year market for advertisers. that's starting to lose audience in a big, rapid way. And then you have this little thing called the internet, where this last year about $12.5 billion was spent on the internet. And you take a look at those two things, and the amount of time is spent on the internet versus the amount of time people are watching TV and the amount of ad dollars that are being used, you're going to see people are projecting, you know, in 2 or 3 years, I've seen some Forrester studies, I'm going to have the numbers wrong, but it's kind of like $18-19 billion by 2008, 2009. I think it's double that. I think it's $30-35 billion of new yearly advertising dollars we're going to see go to the net in that time period.
I mean, really what you're saying is basically the notion of mass media is completely being redefined. I mean, I was talking to a friend who knows what Procter & Gamble's up to. Even Procter & Gamble's moving away from mass advertising to point of purchase, end caps.
Absolutely.
Point of sale. I mean, so, you know, that directed dollars. I mean, Google with PPC has a mass audience, but people can type in keywords and get little targeted
Absolutely.
AdWords.
Well, the big thing that's happened for advertisers is the marketing guy. There's always this famous marketing saying by a guy named Wanamaker said in the 50s or 40s or 50s, you know, half my advertising wasted. I just don't know which half. What's happened with the internet is it's 100% trackable. Plus, now the internet's allowing us not only to create closed sales for sales promotion and sales activity, but also it's becoming a branding medium because of things like podcasting, because of things like video and things like that. So we can now send out branding messages. For example, as you mentioned, one of our investments is YouTube.com. And Nike threw up this little video of Ronaldo in Brazil doing some, you know, it's a Nike commercial, for lack of a better term. It's a little short film, like a 5-minute film, him playing around with a soccer ball, putting on the new Nike shoes. Things have been watched like over a million times.
And people are opting in for commercials.
Exactly.
I mean, it's opt-in. I mean, it's none of this, you know, email bullshit. I mean,
exactly. I'm not pushing anything. I want to see that, and then I'm getting that brand impression. So I had this branding message that Nike spent all of $0 for and had millions of downloads. I mean, it's just – it's a phenomenon. So now why are they going to go then spend $500,000 for a XYZ spot on XYZ, you know, a cable channel? It ain't going to happen. And you're starting to see the shift. Now, one thing I do want to emphasize is, you know, a lot of us internet guys to say, oh, the TV's dead. And it's not dead. It's just what's happening is people are changing their media habits. And what's happened is that advertising dollars have not followed those media habits as quickly. So what you're going to do is see a big rebalancing, if you will, of the media dollars and the media spend across all these different media types.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's really habits. I mean, really, TV is becoming more like the internet. Yahoo just did a deal with TiVo. You're going to see that. Hey, this notion of TiVo on demand clearly is going to be.
Have you got the new video iPod?
No, I have not.
Oh. Unbelievable. Okay, so I got the video iPod. I'm a gadget geek, right? So I upload it. I'm a Night Stalker fan. I love that. I love that. I love that series. Well, Night Stalker is now available on my iPod. So I've actually downloaded the last 5 episodes for $1.99. And when I'm on the road in an airplane or whatever, I'm watching Night Stalker on my video iPod. AOL just announced I can now watch, you know, over AOL TV or over the net, you know, old Wonder Woman episodes and old TV episodes. I think what's going to happen is all this content has been created that people want to watch. I mean, I was a big I Love Lucy fan. If I had access to those half-hour clips, I would download them to my video iPod. So I think, you know, there's all these things are changing.
Are we going commercial-free? I mean, in the early days of TV, if you remember, it was all like this was sponsored by so-and-so. I mean, it's going to be – the commercials are – the programs, like you mentioned, Nike. I mean, are we going to go to that? I mean, because you know, when you're downloading Night Stalker, there's no ads in that,
right? I think it's going to be both. I think what's going to happen is I actually was talked to a lot of people about this in the 90s when I was doing CKS. Is I think content's going to go in two directions. I will, for example, I'm about ready to download that Night Stalker episode. I see an ad coming up. So I see a box coming up saying you can buy that for $1.99 or you can watch this Nike commercial answer these 6 questions and we'll pay for the download. Because the reason why that's great for the advertiser is one is they get what they want. They get the brand impression. They get the
registration data.
They get the registration, whatever you want on. But more importantly, they then have a direct connect, if you will, between, hey, I got this. It was paid for by Nike. Thank you, Nike. Right now, advertising is seen as an annoyance. What most people don't realize is we wouldn't have world-class programming if we didn't have advertising. So it's either going to go one way or the other. I mean, we cannot have world-class programming and nobody pay for it because, you know, these stars, you know, they got to make their money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The producers, the directors, their, you know, key grips, all that kind of fun stuff. So I think that's where we're going to go. Is we're going to go on a pay for either my advertiser pays for it, and I know my advertiser pays for it, or I pay for it.
It's really consumer driven. What you're saying is, I mean, at the end of the day, advertising is all about consumption, where people are and what they're consuming.
Exactly.
And they'll behave how they have to behave. They're forced to. Otherwise, they're irrelevant.
Exactly.
So let's talk about podcasting for a minute, about podcasting. I just came back from the Podcasting Expo, which is the first trade show for podcasting. The big debate was monetization.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see monetization happening for podcasts, for example?
I don't worry about it, okay? Because if you have viewers or listeners in this case, and you have repeat usage, so people are spending time at it, you will figure out ways to make money at it. It doesn't matter. So if you have X amount of people downloading these podcasts, whether and people really use it and people find, great value from it, they'll either pay for it or you'll monetize through advertising. I personally think radio is about a $30 billion, broadcast radio is about a $30 billion ad budget across the United States. I could see 15 to 20% of that pretty quickly going into podcasting. So instead of us just sitting here chatting in our conference room here at Sequoia, we would do the same thing, but you'd open the podcast saying, this podcast sponsored by NetScreen Technologies or Juniper Networks or whatever it happens to be. You'll have that, and then you'll get paid for that, and you'll have bumpers and all that kind of stuff, and I'll sit here and wait while you do all that stuff. So, or I think if the users are interested in hear what I have to say and want to pay for it, which I sincerely doubt. If they were, then we'd be able to they could purchase a show as well.
A lot of people are subscribing to your podcast. I mean, we are sponsored by companies like NextPage, Barracuda, Yahoo, Roche Pharmaceuticals, Network Appliance, Juniper Networks, and on. But they're not interested in the traditional plugs. They want to get the relationships and be perceived as supporting the medium.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they're doing podcasts.
Yep.
So the podcasts are part of their marketing.
Yeah, but for example, one of the things that you're starting to see in podcasts is as you're talking about, maybe we just talked about, Network Appliance, for example, you could have, if I was watching it on iTunes, the Network Appliance bug come up. And if I'm interested in Network Appliance, I could click there. Or we talked about YouTube, click on YouTube. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do. Now, you're not going to do that, when you're sitting at home with your iPod. But oh, by the way, you could see eventually with the 3G phones, I could interact with it over that as well. So I think there's it's just the beginning. I think to answer your question succinctly is I think the majority of the monetization is going to come out of the existing broadcast radio budget. And I think it's going to be significant sums of money.
Well, let's end this segment of the podcast on obviously a prediction for you again. Talk to the folks out there listening who are in mainstream media, execs in the ivory tower, traditional broadcasters, and entrepreneurs. What's going to happen over the next 2-3 years in terms of the media business?
Well, I think there's two things. One is in the past, if I bought the TV Channel 7 franchise for Cincinnati, Ohio, I knew I could mint money because it was the only place where people could go to get local video content, for lack of a better term. If I'm a media guy now, I need to understand that asset is not going to be worth as much tomorrow as it is today because I only have 20 their consumers, the guys in Cincinnati, Ohio, only have 24 hours to view and to consume media. I need to look at their whole consumption and media viewing habits, whether it's podcasting, whether it's video on the net, whether it's cable TV, whether it's the newspapers, whether it's a magazine, so on and so forth. So I need to look at that whole thing and create products and media and content that address across that whole area. And I think the big new area is guys who really create a compelling new kind of content that goes across multiple medium. I think that could be very interesting.
Can you give an example?
I think we're starting to see some of it with, for example, my kids play a Halo, right? So they're playing the game. There's some product placements in there, or there appears to be, in my opinion. And they're talking to people over, video IP while they're watching television and also by they're on the net trying to get cheat codes. I mean, so they're doing like 4 or 5 different things, simultaneously. So I think we're going to start seeing, I think the main reason why, and again, what do I know? One of the reasons why, Sony and Microsoft are so embroiled, for lack of a better term, in this video game battle is I think it starts there because the video player, the Xbox or the PlayStation, think about it. It's the only place where I have digital content, gaming content, DVD content, internet content, video content. I mean, it all comes together in that one little place. So I think that's where we'll start seeing some of the new stuff.
Yeah, it's very disruptive. I mean, you know, my show's become very popular, and I'm bigger than some radio stations in like Cleveland, and you know, circulation wise, some of the trade magazines out there. And I spent no money.
Absolutely.
I spent no money. I should get into it. I should figure out how to make money on it. Well, anyway, let's end it there and do another segment. Thanks so much for the podcast.
Well, thank you.